preacher's name standing for prayer. Again, dear Lord Jesus Christ, we come in your presence again, Lord, in prayer, knowing that when we open our mouths before you, believing in this word, we have perfect access to you by faith. And we do thank you for it, Lord. We're asking, therefore, my God, you'll guide us, instruct us in this word, that this word may really live tonight, Lord Jesus Christ, that we may see those things, Lord, that the prophet taught us, and understand them more fully, literally being carried away by it, Lord. For if we believe that one day you're going to come and carry us away, and Lord, this word ought to carry us away in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, preparatory for that great day. Make us all the more one spirit, and all the more one bread, all the more one people tonight, Lord, and the love of this word, and the bond of the wholeness of Jesus Christ, and with a holy decency, O God, respect and admiration and care, we'll give thee praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, certainly been fine to be here with you. Of course, we just have a little problem. I don't know if I got a problem with this thing or not. Put it down a bit. Tobacco? Oh, there we are. Nice. Wonderful inventions of science. I just couldn't learn how to use them. Sure glad they don't build a better mousetrap or I'd never catch them out. But the trouble with meetings like this is you got to separate. And I don't quite agree with Shakespeare. Maybe I do without knowing it. And maybe I do agree that parting is such sweet sorrow, we ought to do it more often. In other words, get together more often. It's better, almost feels a little lonesome to see the brethren go home. Or sometimes they may be relieved to go home. But I don't suppose it's that way. I think it's like it is with me. I just kind of hate to see it happen. It's so nice to have fellowship. Appreciate your gifts. And the Lord bless you for them. Now, there's a message, of course, I love above all messages, myself, and that is to show the ministry of Brother Branham and talk about from Scripture how the many things that he said are so clearly in the Word when we just take time to look for them. And in fact, you don't even need to take time to look for them. They'll be there in the Word. And that's the way it is tonight, as we bring a little message. If I read my notes, it won't take too terrible long. If I preach on each page, well, we'll have another midnight service, which is all right for some people. The rest of you folks have got to go. The ushers will, the deacons will stand at the door and keep you from leaving. Brother Bell and I work together very well. We're a couple of rogues, it seems. He'll be up there instructing the deacons to see that, and Doc Cash will help too. He's not too small. He's quite formidable size. He used to be a good baseball player. That means a good strong bat. Just going to keep you in. You should decide to leave ahead of time. But I want you to hear the message, because it's for the people as well as the preachers, though it doesn't sound like it. Because the title is Preach, Not Prove, a Vindicated Message. Preach, not prove, a vindicated message. In other words, the message is vindicated. It doesn't need proving. It only needs preaching. And we'll find out why as we proceed. We go to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and we read the first 4 verses. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now, Paul here is not only exhorting, but he is demanding and commanding Timothy to preach the word. Now, what word was it? It was the authentic, vindicated word of God, as delivered by the Apostle Paul, whose revelation was corroborated by other vindicated messengers. It was Paul's authenticated, vindicated message that was corroborated by the apostles. Now let's examine it. To begin with, we go to Galatians the first chapter, and we read verses 11 and 12. But I certify you, brethren, I declare to be true brethren, that the good news which was preached of me is not after man, period. Explanation. For I knew and communicated or discussed with them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had already run in vain. I had said something contrary to what is the truth as expressed by those who were daily taught by Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, and then further instructed by the Holy Ghost. All right, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 2-5. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but vindicated through the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 36 to 37. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, in other words, a man filled with the Holy Ghost or the prophetic office to whom the word comes, let them acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are thus saith the Lord. I'm not changing that one bit, because the commandment of God is what God has to say about any subject to anybody, under any condition, any time, and any place. Now, also, we go to Hebrews, the second chapter, and in verses 3-4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord? That is, the means of this salvation was spoken, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. But notice, God also bearing witness to that word that it was correctly preached, and by revelation, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will, which is his word. The accompaniment of demonstration by in the word of the Lord. Also, in 1 John, here's somebody that Paul conversed with, who was with Jesus. The 4th chapter in verse 6. We are of God. John says this concerning himself, and concerning Paul, and concerning those that are preaching this word. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Peter also adds his testimony in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 15 and 16. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom. Now what wisdom? As James said, that which is given from above. The wisdom given from above unto him hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them these things, in which, what things? The same revelation that Paul, that Peter had. No different. The same, that, just say those things. hard to be understood. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. Peter saying here that Paul had the same revelation, and people twisted and turned it to their destruction, even as they take what he said, Peter said, and twist to the same destruction. Now, since authenticity was based upon vindication, Timothy had no reason to prove the word of God to anybody or to argue the Word of God with anybody, but to preach it. He did not need to figure it out or pit Scripture against Scripture or even attempt to convince anybody. He needed only to preach it exactly as Paul gave it to him, as is set forth in the book of Galatians, the first chapter, and in verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, or as Jesus would have put it, verily, verily, if any man preach any other gospel than that you have received of me, let him go to the lake of fire. Cursed be you. Depart me. Into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, this command from Paul has never, ever changed. It is the first principle of preaching. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and in verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same with no change, commit thou to faithful men who shall also be able to teach others what you teach them, what you got from me, and nothing else. The word was to be continued in its pure form. Also notice the same thing over in 1 John, the second chapter, and verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And they didn't do it, and they lost out with God. They did not continue, evidently. Now, the consequence of any change in the revealed word is death in the lake of fire. I already said it, but it is true, and we see it again in the book of Galatians, first chapter, and in verse 8, again. But though we are an angel from heaven, now notice he's bringing it down to the fact that there could be supernatural revelation by a dynamic angelic figure come down. A lot of people don't realize that the devil is in heavenly places up there in the air. His kingdom's over this world. It's not down here, though it reaches here. He's the prince of the power of the air. And remember, Paul warned. Now, there'd be no sense in him saying that if an angel came down, see, from heaven, if angels couldn't come down from heaven, don't tell me to pick up that piano. I couldn't begin to pick it up. See, you don't talk about those things that couldn't happen. This could happen, and it has happened, and it'll continue to happen. An angel come down out of heaven and preach any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. He's already cursed because he's a fallen angel. Yeah. Yeah. See, showing that it can be done. That's the lake of fire. Prove it to you. Matthew 25. And of course, that one I was thinking of over here, the 41st verse. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Also notice in the book of James, the third chapter, and in the first verse, my brethren, be not many teachers. The word is not masters, it's teachers. Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, which means be more severely judged. See, watch your teaching. The greatest judgment will fall upon the false teacher. As Brother Branham mentioned, the duration of time in the lake of fire, this proves it. See, there'll be degrees of punishment. Now, this could refer to those people who knowingly subtract and stubbornly take away or add to and change the Word of God, though they themselves can prove nothing. Come against a vindicated message, as it says in Revelation 22:18-19, that we must not add to the Word or take away from it. Now, this commandment that Paul gave was soon to be violated, and Paul knew that it would be. That's why just before he died, he called the elders together from Ephesus and so on to Miletus. And there they got together, and he warned them that there would be wolves come in amongst the sheep, and amongst themselves, the very elders, would be raised up men who would pervert the Word of God and thereby damn themselves and damn the souls of many, many people. Peter knew it in 2 Peter 2:1, for he said, as there were false prophets among the people, even so among you will be false teachers who make merchandise of you. In other words, sell you into perdition and get some type of a remuneration, which could be popularity or money or something, and the people would be made merchandise. Now, when this false teaching came into the bride, that is, into the church, the first church, the bride was no longer a virgin of the Word. For Paul expressed that in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. He said, I'm jealous over you, and with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you as a virgin bride to Jesus Christ, but I have this fear that some will come among you and pervert your minds as concerning this Word, that there'll be some kind of a change somehow, and you will no longer then be a virgin fit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul mentioned, he said, even as Eve was perverted. Let's just take a look at that to get the exact words, because it's very important to notice the part that Eve plays. But I fear, lest by any means, some way, somehow, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now you can see that this bride is the anti-type of Eve. The New Testament bride was foreshadowed or foreknown or typed by Eve. So this bride is the anti-type. Now, therefore, the anti-type is exactly the same as the type in deception. That's right. And you got to see that. Because it says here, I don't want her fooled as Eve was fooled. So therefore, this bride was fooled in the same way that Eve was fooled. So, we'll rehearse what caused the fall of the New Testament bride. Now, what caused the fall of the New Testament bride? It was the preaching of that which was other than the purely vindicated Word of Paul. Now, that's what caused it. It doesn't matter what anybody tells you. That person's a liar. Because the Bible said what caused the fall was the perversion of the Word of God. You see, that's why every outfit of the denomination claims to preach the pure Word. Because they want to qualify. But that's not true. Now, but it is true that the anti-type and the type have the same experience. There had to be a falling from the Word. So therefore in Eden, there must have been, now listen, therefore in Eden, there must have been a perfectly vindicated Word that was known to Adam and Eve. You see the logic? If it was a perfect vindicated Word in Paul's time, and this bride would fall from it, based upon what happened to Eve, then there must have been a perfect vindicated Word in Eden. Now, that's going to sound strange because you didn't think so. But it doesn't matter what you and I think, it's what the Bible says. Yeah. So as the prophet said, you let your own thinking go and say what the Bible says. Now, first of all, let's show you. First of all, there was even a vindication of the right to give a message of demanded obedience, even as Paul was vindicated. See, there has to be. You say, who'd the message come from? Never mind. Just get our thoughts squared away. There must have been a perfectly vindicated message in the Garden of Eden. See? There must have been
the vindication of the right of the person to give that message. Now, it is spelled out to us in Romans, in the first chapter, verses 19 to 20. Here's what it says. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. There has to be an absolute perfect revelation, and it's vindicated here according to the Scripture. Now, let's apply this to Adam and Eve. Verse 19, because that which may be known to God is manifest in them. Now, here are two people surrounded by a perfect creation. We know the creation was perfect because it says so in the first two chapters of the book of Genesis. Everything God made was good. So good, He could rest concerning it. Listen, that shows, now listen, that shows nothing needed to be added to it and nothing could be taken from it. I want to repeat. The two chapters of Genesis show you that everything God made was good. And it was so good, so perfect, that God rested concerning it. He didn't have to figure anything more out. He didn't have to worry His mind. No confusion. Everything was a place of rest, see? So that shows that nothing needed adding or nothing needed taken away. That's the same way the Word of God is. Don't add, don't take, perfect if the revelation is there. Now, in this paradise of God was all beautiful manner of life, both flora and fauna, vegetation and animal. From the lowest single cell to the highest animal who could reason and talk and looked almost identical to Adam, except for his gigantic, magnificent physical frame. God had truly made Himself known to Adam and Eve in this creation. Their very being in Eden, placed there as two legitimate people to suddenly find themselves conscious of this tremendous, beautiful place in which they were, and they were there alone, and there was nobody before them, and nobody after them. They knew instinctively there was a God.
Amen.
The perfect vindication of God was right there in the garden. But this was not enough. God appeared to them, and He talked to them. And notice how He talked to them in Genesis, the second chapter, and in verse 17, He says, speaking to them, 16 also, of every tree, and God said, every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not. And it was God's knowledge. Now, if you care to, let us just see what the Word of God was in the Garden of Eden, and it's in Genesis 1, 26 to 31. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in all the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. Remember that tree that I talked about didn't come out of the ground, Eve? Didn't bear seed. Oh man, you can't fool Scripture the way the prophet taught it. Now here's where I get my shouting spell. I just pick up and forget this man running around this building screaming. I don't get goosebumps and chills. I get the Word of God. See, you can't turn and read one verse, but you see what he taught. See? Now, and to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw he made everything good, and behold, it was good. Evening, morning, were the sixth day. Now, notice in here. Now God told them to do it. To do what? Replenish the earth and to multiply. Now, he gave them his word that they could live by it. Let me put it another way. He gave them his word that they could live it and live by it. See? Both. Now, just stay in the word. Now watch how that word was begun to be fulfilled by Adam. That is, to have dominion over the earth, rule over it. As it says here in the 19th verse and 20 now, given the command, replenish the earth, have dominion, do all of these things. Now watch how it began to take place, the ruling over nature. Verse 19, second chapter. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and every beast of the earth. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet. So therefore, at this time, the command was actually not to multiply upon the earth, but it was to have dominion over the earth. Now, what would be the sense in multiplying upon the earth if you didn't have dominion over it? You follow me now? God gave the command. God gave the promise. See? And notice how the promise is being fulfilled. Now, the animals and everything else were there, and even before God had made Adam and Eve, even before two spirit beings, unclothed as to flesh. Now watch. This labor of categorizing the life of the earth was a part of the command of God. Now see, now watch carefully. He was called upon to name the fowl, the beast, and to indulge in an extensive program of probing into nature. Before he was even to make one step about populating. Now notice how God, the Holy Spirit, initiated the work. See? Now I'm telling you this. Notice God initiated it. Adam never did it on his own. See? Even though he had a command. Even though he had a promise. I read it here. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the earth and brought them unto Adam to see what he would do. Amen. God did it. Amen. Adam never did it. He did not start anything on his own. He was to receive his initiation or his go ahead from Almighty God. Now Adam was told to do it. A word of command promise or promise command. But though he had the command, he did not do anything until God himself started the action. He had the word, but never acted until he had the mind of God to do it. He had to have the leadership of God to lead out on God's word. See? Knowing the letter is not sufficient. Revelation is to understand. Okay, now you're getting your picture just exactly how Brother Branham taught it and how he summed up his own life. The way he conducted himself and explained himself to the people. And it's right here in the Bible. Amen. Now, you can see right here that the original plan of God was not to set in motion certain laws for Adam and leave him on his own. To give him the word and then let him work it out. It was to give a perfectly clear revelation, and then God himself initiate the action contained in the revelation at the time ordained of God.
See?
You say, why the time ordained of God? Well, you think God called this man to start something before it was God's time? It was in God's time because he did it.
Amen.
See? Now, how long it took Adam to do this, we have no idea. But it never got to the place where Adam even got to the vegetation and insect life and the inanimate nature of materiality upon earth. See? It might have taken hundreds of years to do that. We don't know. But before he would be able to propagate the earth, he would have to know nature intimately. Before he could rule over nature, he would have to know it intimately. That's what's wrong today. And that's why everything is backfiring today. Man's probed into nature, and he can't probe far enough because he doesn't have divine revelation. He can only go by his senses. The greatest criminal act we've seen here in the 20th century was the discovery of DDT. That's when man began to rearrange molecules and make a product that nature never made. And the bungling into nature has destroyed us. If God lets this earth go a little while longer, we won't need to worry about God doing one thing about it. We can do it ourselves. Race suicide. See? Man bungling into nature. Now man should know nature. And you know something? They finally smartened up. And they're looking around and said, what was it like in the beginning? They needed the wolves here. Now, they won't say God put the wolves here, but they find out the farmers were wrong, killing the wolves off. They need the wolves. They're wrong killing the coyotes off. They need them. They're wrong killing eagles off. They need them. They're wrong disturbing nature.
Amen.
See? And now you can see a perfect picture that are all lined up. Adam should have known the things about nature. He should have known the things necessary to take over the earth. See? Now listen. This effort was his first step in education and true knowledge, for it was to come from God and reveal and declare God in nature. See? That's right. That's what Romans 1 tells us, that you can see there's a God in nature. Then if you're going to upset nature or fool with it, you're fooling with God. It's to stand back. That's why Brother Branham always stood back and said, watch nature, watch nature. He didn't say, change nature, change nature. See? He said, watch it.
Amen.
And you learn from it. Now, this was his first training. Now, watch. It was to be his training in sonship so as to be a true heir to the Father, which is adoption. Now, what am I talking about? Receiving the Word of God, the revelation, and waiting for God to initiate it.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
Go right back to Genesis, the first book to see it. Now, this could have taken thousands and thousands of years before he was prepared to be the true heir of the earth. See? God instructing him in nature, giving him revelation, teaching him, stay in time. Don't do anything. No matter if there is a command, don't try to act on God's word apart from a revelation in a season.
Amen. Amen.
Now that's pretty tough in the face of so-called dynamic religion. Where, bless God, give him another shot. Give us the tools to do the job. Let's win the heathen. And the biggest one of all is to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, so everybody convert the Jews. How many Jews got converted? Hogwash. If it weren't for the Gentiles, Jews wouldn't have a bride. Showing you that they're wrong when their timing is wrong. And this is the training in sonship. See, but in this period of training, bringing him to the place of adoption and for adoption, God gave his son a promised bride in order to reproduce himself. She was made like unto him and in his image. Now, you will notice here particularly that this vessel was not in the original word creation, as was Adam, but was taken from him. Now this is not to downgrade her, but to show you about the bride, because she's typing this, they type each other. Thus, this bride Eve was not the recipient of the same teaching and training as was Adam. She wasn't even here when Adam went through this. God brought him before Adam, but he wasn't there. She was not the recipient. Can you get it across and apply it to the messengers of the age? As Paul said, what? Did the word of God come out of you, or did it come to you? See? Now, she was not tutored in the true revelation of the word as was Adam, but had to receive the account of the command promise and their fulfillment to date. After she came here, after he was here, he would have to tell her all about it and tell her about the fulfillment to date. If that isn't what William Branham did, I don't know what I'm talking about. That is what Jesus did, I don't know what I'm talking about. Do you realize we're just one hair's breadth to restoration from what I'm preaching here? He said we're going right back to the anyway, back to Eden. I'm showing you where we're at. One breath from Eden tonight. See? The first step in the rapture has already taken place. See? Because Adam was her teacher. See? Now, and once again realize that she is a type of the bride of Christ, we are amazed at how perfect the type is when we ponder how the unadulterated word of God was given to her. That's why Paul could say, you receive me like Jesus Christ himself, or Almighty God. Why? Because he did exactly what God did to the original. Received the revelation. Understood it. Explained it. Brought it to date. And said, there it is now. Listen. And don't change one bit. See? She wasn't even there when Paul got the revelation. Now, notice that she herself did not receive the word personally. It was Adam who received it and gave it to her. He had, now listen, he had experiences apart from her, and she was to believe it and obey it.
Amen.
And Eve said, hogwash, baby. And the bride said, hogwash, baby. And the bride today said, drop dead, Brandon. Now I've got my own experiences. Now, I preach this way on purpose. I'm going to be as sarcastic as I can because God's word is sarcastic. I can prove it to you. Because there comes a time when you got to cut and slash in order to show what's going on. That's what's going on. I can get it from myself. What's the biggest thing you've got to watch over your kids? I can do it myself, Daddy. I can do it myself, Mommy. That rotten little stinking nature in there, they're going to bowl their way through if every cup in the china cabinet gets broken. Or they pull a pot of scalding water down and die. Just what he did in the garden.
Right.
See? That's what Paul said over here in 1 Corinthians 14, 36 and 7 or 8 here. What came the word of God unto you? Or came it out of you? Well, he said, you know jolly well you received it. See? Now, if any man's a prophet, if you got discernment there, prophet judge. If you think you got the Holy Ghost, you have to admit that what I say is right. I brought it to you, and you listen, and I'll tell you. I'll describe it. I'll tell you where you're at. Glory to God, I'm going to make the rapture. Hallelujah. Jesus, come and see. I want to tell you something, brother, sister. All we know about the church is by history, but one day history comes too late. There's going to be a screaming and a screaming unto God when that bride's gone. You look around and say, my God, this shouldn't be happening. This shouldn't be happening. We should be gone. But they're not gone. See? Because God destroyed their covenant of death. For God had his own. See? Now listen, it was Adam who was vindicated and authenticated in the Word, for he, Adam, and not Eve, entered into the vindication of God fulfilling his Word to him. See, it was God fulfilling the word to Adam, not Eve. And she was to partake of his vindication. See?
She's a partaker of it. The word of the prophet doesn't come to the prophet, it comes to the people. And God vindicates the prophet for the people.
Amen. That's right.
Now it was being vindicated free, and she turned it down. See, look at it. First Corinthians. I'm sorry. Genesis, first of all. Second chapter. 19 and 20 again. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast, every fowl, and brought them unto Adam. God did it to see what Adam would call him. God giving him perfect knowledge of what to call him, and understanding their nature, and all about them. And he gave them names. See? But there was nobody there with Adam when it was done. So therefore, everything that Adam got from God, Eve would get from Adam. Or she wouldn't get it.
Right.
Or she'd botch it. See? Right, exactly. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Yeah, we really don't need you. I read it just. Second chapter. He said, I received it from God, and I gave it to you, that you might not be bungled with what man thinks, and get fresh through me what God says. He said, we're not going to dress it up and make it fancy or junk it around. I've got a vindication here. It was Adam vindicated. It was Paul vindicated. And notice, Adam, now listen, notice, Adam could not escape his own revelation. Now watch. He could disobey it, but he couldn't deny it.
Amen.
Now we get someplace. Second chapter, verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. He could leave God. See? But he couldn't deny the revelation because it was vindicated.
Amen.
That's why the Apostle Paul said, if I or any other man change this, let me be cursed, because I am cursed. Paul may change, but Jesus never.
Amen.
See? And he is that word. Now listen, he could refuse it. Sure. But it would not alter the fact that he had it. So man, he went back in his own religion. You can go back in your own religion. He said, pah, but you can't alter a revelation. See? Now, once the revelation is given, it can never change. No man can change it and live. Take one word, leg of fire. Add one word, the plagues. Now, we see Eve. Now, we go to the garden again. We see Eve stand before the serpent. She has the vindicated word which has been given to her by her head. Let's go to it. 1 Corinthians. 11th chapter. 1, 2, 3. Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. How? True revelation. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things. That's the whole word of God. And you keep the commandments that are meant to be kept, not just faith now, but doing certain things. As I delivered them unto you. He was a delivery boy. The delivery boy doesn't own the store, he just carries the groceries. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and Christ is my head, and the head of the woman is the man. The head of Christ is God. Now it shows you here that headship is in the man. And headship was in Adam, absolutely. Now then, with that same thought in mind over here, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 and 35. Let your women keep silence in the church. It is not permitted unto them to speak concerning church matters. You can talk about your knitting and your sewing, that's good. And you can praise and talk about the Lord in the right place. But when it comes into the church circle, confirming and understanding God's word, she hasn't got one word to say.
Amen.
Remember, she types the church now. See? Now keep reading here. But it's commanded on them, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also said the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it's absolutely a shame. Like though she was caught in some kind of act of fornication or adultery. Room to speak in church. Okay? Absolutely be under Adam, but she wouldn't do it. Now, but see who was arguing with Eve about the word. The serpent to whom the word was not given at all. The word had not been given to Eve. The word had not been given to the serpent originally. But now they're both arguing it. The serpent was not the authority, but was under authority. See, even below her. Now, there was no place in him for the word, neither did he have any place with the word. See, Adam had both. He had a place for the word and with the word. And Eve had a place with the word as long as she was under his word. As long as she had a place for the word, under him, she was with it. See, people say they're with the word. Well, what word have you got? Just the Bible? Hogwash. Ain't going to do you no good. You need the revelation. She had the Bible too and flubbed the dove right off the bat. And she had a lot more brains than you and I got all put together. She was in the original Garden of Eden. See? I'm just talking figuring now because with the Holy Ghost we have all understanding. Yet, this serpent wanted to be above, he wanted above all else to handle the word, and he did it. And he changed it by one word. And Eve believed the change in the word, and she was no longer a virgin of the word of God. Now, just to get this type right, look at the serpent again. He was an intelligent. He was intelligent, as to mental knowledge, and a certain mental understanding of the word. But he had absolutely no place in God's ordained ministry to of it. It was Adam who was called to it. Now, does it, he brought forth for her. Now, he's doing just fine by himself, but he had to have a charge. God's ordained plan had to work out. Okay, let's take a look at Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Eleven to 15. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors and teachers. Who's he talking about? The bride. For the ministry to the bride. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What would that be? The entire population of the earth by God's children, all ordained under sonship, trained right in line with what I'm talking about.
Amen. Amen.
See, that's why this thing goes come to the resurrection. Don't ever think you're going to stop short of that. Something so great this side, you can say, whoopee, hallelujah. Come on, it goes right into it. And the biggest part's on the other side. See? Now, that we henceforth watch, be no more children, tossed to and fro, that's Eve, carried about every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness like Satan by the serpent, whereby they lie, lurking, waiting to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Jesus Christ. See? That they had their chance, and they missed it. Now, notice, compare this with Timothy. 1 Timothy, the third chapter, verses 1 and 2. Paul speaking here. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop must be blameless, husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to teach, apt to teach rather, apt, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, and so on. Now, you can see in here the fact that there is also, with the fivefold ministry, a man called a bishop. He wants to do the job.
And you can see in Acts 20:17 and 29-30 that it was these people, not the fivefold ministry that God gave, but somebody wanted to be in the ministry, that brought into corruption to the church. The word had not been corrupted by the fivefold ministry, but it was corrupted by those that attached themselves to it. Because God does everything in sevens. And there aren't seven in five. Apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist. That's five.